them out of the mouth. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Mighty God, we pray. Stand to your feet. Lord, our Lord, oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent your name is in all the earth. Mighty God, we pray. Oh Lord, our Lord, oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent your name is in all the earth. Mighty God, we pray. Oh Lord, our Lord, oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent your name is in all the earth. Mighty God, we pray.
Children, you're not singing. Look at you on the wall.
Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent your name is in all the earth. Mighty God, we praise. Oh Lord, our Lord, our Lord, how excellent your name is in all the earth. Mighty God, we praise.
Now, children, I don't know if those sick lions are back here. I will separate you. I don't want sick lions. Last week, one of the visions we saw lion cubs. And that was you people. Strong. You know what the lion is? The lion is the king of the beast. The king of animals, but mainly of the wild beasts. The ox is the king of the cattle. The class of animals called cattle, sheep and goats and cows and other animals that are bred, donkeys and the rest. The ox is king, the strongest. The eagle is the king of the birds, the most powerful of birds. It's the eagle. And all these, and of course, man is the one who has dominion over all the earth. That's why those four things are found, what you hear called the living creatures or the living beasts around the throne of God. Those are the four faces that the cherubim have: lion, eagle, ox, and man. Those are the leaders of their type. So when you are seen as a lion, many times in the visions the young children have, they see animals, they see all of that. It's a picture of people also. It's a picture of the power of God. The strength that those animals have, their abilities. An eagle can see very far, has telescopic vision. A lion is strong and is not afraid of other animals mostly, who roar many times and other animals will run. They will hear it very far away and they will be afraid. The ox is very strong, it can keep walking. When all the donkeys are tired, and other animals are tired, the ox is very strong. God wants you to know, if he calls you a lion's cub, it means that you're meant to be like the king of the jungle. You're meant to be very strong. But even though you're young, you must see yourself how God sees you. So don't be weak. Okay? Now we are going to go in a few minutes. So I preach what I want to preach. What I want to preach was shared in the visions. I hope you heard it, that God is fighting the enemy. I'm sure you hear your father and mother sometimes pray and say, oh God, your aunties and uncles, we come against Satan. I'm telling you how to fight Satan from the Bible. Psalm 8. Out of the mouth of babes and... Do you know what a nursing infant is? Who does not know what a nursing infant is? A nursing infant are those children you're seeing there, those small babies there. To nurse means to breastfeed. So in the language of that time they wrote the Bible, this translation, a nursing infant is an infant is a baby that is sucking the breast. That is a nursing infant. Do you suck breast? Now, do you? How many of you hide and tell mommy I want to suck some? Okay? You sure? God forbid. Who is the big person here that looks like someone that will be wanting to suck breast? So even you are not nursing infants. Even that might see that. She's too big. Do you still suck breath? Good. She went like, no way. The nursing infants are these other ones. They can't walk. They can't talk. They barely know anything. They know breast, milk. God said that even out of the mouth of nursing infants, he has ordained strength. A preacher spoke about how he preached about how God wants to use children. And God told him that even small babies. And a woman was carrying a baby on her shoulder like this, a mother. And this woman, she had a relative or a house girl who lived in her house. She had demons. At night, this girl, the big girl, will go to the kitchen and scatter everything, pull down the pots, pull down everything. She had demons inside her. She scatter everything. She doesn't even know when she does it. Something comes on her. You heard different people talk about, go and stand in one place, leave him alone. At different times, she will go and do these things. And it's like she didn't know why she does it. I'm saying someone shared a vision here and talked about, like what? How do you say an angel came to the person and pushed out a demon? That's what God wants to do. God wants to say, when you see Satan fighting with God's angels, fighting with Satan, they are pushing demons out of people's lives. They are pushing demons and other powers off of people. Are you understanding this? That's how they fight. They don't come and fight over this carpet. They don't fight about for biscuits. That's not what angels come to fight for. They come to make sure that everything Satan is trying to do against you and your family, that it fails. That's why angels come. They come to help you. If you find yourself telling lies, they come to fight. If you have a spirit that pushes you to lie every time you want to be lying. That angel is going to come and fight with that spirit that tells you to lie. That's what angels do. They help you to become like children of God. They help you live like children of God. Okay, so I want you to understand this. This girl, I'm telling you the story, was walking behind, and this woman is carrying the little baby, about 1 year old. 1 year plus, about 18 months, I think. As the child was on her shoulder, the baby does it, and did his hand towards the girl. She fell on the ground, and a demon went out of her. Like the deliverance session happened. A little baby that can't even talk. A little baby that couldn't even speak. Out of the mouth of babies and nursing infants, God has ordained, God has chosen to reveal strength or might or power because of the enemy. He wants to silence the enemy and the avenger. He wants to silence the devil. And God has said he wants to use little children. How many of you want God to use you to silence Satan? That is why we come here. I am saying even those tiny ones there, those little ones there, that is why the mothers that come with these children, keep coming with them. Don't sit down there and be thinking, I'm trying to get parents to understand that you have been deceived. You think answers lie in a pastor only. I am a pastor, I'm a preacher of the word. I have cast demons out of so many people, off of so many people. I have carried out hundreds of deliverances. I know how demons are. I know it's a big deal. I know what it means to preach the word of God in season, out of season. I know what it means to tell the truth. I know the work of ministry is work indeed. But I am saying that God has chosen the weak things and despised things of this world to confound the strong, to confound the mighty. God himself has chosen that he's going to silence the enemy through children because he has chosen to do so. You cannot tell him, why would you do such a thing? He can do anything he likes. I'm showing that to you in 1 Corinthians 1. Children, hear what God says about you. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 25. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. And I'm going to tell you today, parents, pastors, wherever you are hearing this, God's children is the equivalent of foolishness. How can you use children for this? It seems it's clear it is foolish to send little children to do big men's work. God said that his foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. His foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. And then he also says that his weakness. So children, are children weak? Some of these children now are hungry. Okay, how many of you are hungry? Only five are hungry. The remainder, you're very strong. How many of you want to eat now? You would like to eat now. Apart from the students that came from school, two of them raising their hands. The rest of you, you're not telling the truth. Okay, there are three Christians here. They're telling the truth. The rest of you, But you have been looking like that other lion since. I've been looking at some of you. You've been looking left and right. That's why you keep looking left and right. You don't even know. You're hungry. Like that hungry lion. Don't worry, we are going to go very soon. Okay? If you take a picture of you next to that hungry lion, you say, my friend, we will go soon. But for now, I was talking to the big people. Think about the circumstances of your call, brothers and sisters. Not many were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were born to a privileged position. But God chose what the world thinks foolish to shame the wise. I want you to hear this. This is why God has chosen out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants. He did it to shame the wise. God has a sense of humor like that. To shame the wise, and God chose what the world thinks weak to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world what is regarded as nothing to set aside what is regarded as something, so that no one can boast in his presence. I want us all to listen to this very clearly. As briefly as I've said this, the Almighty God, the maker of heaven and earth, the ruler of all things, has chosen to use little children to shut the mouth of grown-ups. He wants every one of us to understand that you cannot boast in his presence. Children don't think of boasting. They just do what needs to be done. A child could pray for someone, a miracle happens right now, and they just walk away. So as you listened to Elijah share that experience where he was just taken to the presence of God, he was in a vision, and then he was taken out of this place. You can hear the difference for some of you that sometimes wonder the difference between visions. So he was already seeing visions. Stand where Elijah. He was already seeing visions. You see, if he was a grown up that had seen that vision now, he'd have been acting all spiritual, you know, and cool throughout. That's the difference. That's why God uses the weak things, the despised. Because they don't put on airs due to their experiences. The grown-ups, you can't help yourself. We can't seem to help ourselves. And so he went, I was explaining a little about prophetic experience. He clearly kept saying that he was no longer here. He was already seeing visions and he knew he was here. He knew he was hearing my voice. He knew we were here. But suddenly was no more so. He went from seeing the things he was seeing to finding himself in another place. And he said there were no more chairs, there was nothing. All the things here were no more. He was in heaven, and then an angel was instructed to take him and show him things. Why is that? That is God confounding the wise. They're grown up here while that was happening. And I doubt any of them had such an experience. If you had, let me see, while we were worshiping God earlier on today, I even doubt even some of them even had any vision. So a few may have had. But he went beyond just the vision to a journey. And was taken and shown angels in their myriads being ready to go to war. Now we are going to have it written out and more explicitly and more clearly, and fill in the gaps, you know, questions will be asked so you can fill it out well. But why did God choose to do that with the child? Why did he show all those children? Let me ask you, have you seen a vision before? Or today was the first day? You've seen a vision before, have you? So that was her first time. And you spoke first. Remember I said, so she didn't raise her hand when I said, how many of you had a vision? She didn't raise her hand because she wasn't sure. But I knew that some other people had, even some that didn't raise their hand at all. But they weren't sure. So she had an impression. And I asked, what was the impression you had? And I said, let her share first. Why did I tell her to share first? So you won't say she's copying other people when they talk. And so she'll be sure that God spoke to her too. And she shared first that she saw a battle. She saw warfare. She saw angels of God fighting Satan. It's all that. And every other person, you know, who had already seen a similar thing. What's your name? Precious. What's yours? Mfoniso. So Precious spoke first, then Mfoniso said the same thing. She went like, when she was talking, she went like, that's the same thing I saw, you know, before she now spoke. And then you also had the ones who have been seeing lots of visions for a long time. And they had seen the same thing. So, even though that was her first time, you see the atmosphere as you obeyed and closed your eyes and paid attention and listened, God will begin to talk to you. Even though you are weak, even though you are despised, even though people think, what does a little child know? God has chosen what is low, verse 28, and despised in the world. What is regarded as nothing, to set aside what is regarded as something. This is the will of God Almighty. Children, and I keep telling you, you must know it, that God has chosen to talk to you because you are regarded as nothing. So you should be listening to God. Children, you must make out time. You have to be praying. You have to be making out time where you go into your room, kneel down by your bed, and talk to Jesus. Most of you don't do that nearly at all. You don't go and talk to Jesus. You sleep in the morning till late, maybe in your house. You have morning devotions, family devotions, and everybody gets together and prays. That's the only time. You don't have any personal time. You don't talk to God. You play too much. How is God going to send this, his angels, to you and you fight a good warfare? You shouldn't have to get into trouble. Many of the times you get into trouble, it's because you're not paying attention to God. You like to play too much. You like to say, I'm a child every time. You're a child, we know. But you must have time to talk to Jesus. Children, what did I say? You must have... Some of you are not even still listening. Children, you must have time to... Alone. Say alone. That's only you. Not when mommy and daddy are there. Not when uncle and auntie. On your own. You tell mommy and daddy, I want to go and talk to Jesus. Enter your room. Kneel down and say, Jesus, I came to talk to you. I love you. You can sing a song to him. And then tell him, tell me what I should do to make you happy. Speak to my heart. If you can read, have your Bible there. As you're there, he will speak it many times. You'll be like it's inside your heart, as if it's in your mind, as if you're hearing something. Then sometimes it won't be like that. Sometimes you actually take you away. Like if Elijah goes now and kneels down and says, Lord, please tell me more. And even some of you here, you say, I want to know more about that thing you took and showed Elijah in heaven. He will continue to talk to you. But if all you want to do is catch me every time, you must have times when you purposely say, I want to talk to Jesus. And Jesus will talk to you back. How many of you want Jesus to talk to you? He already spoke to you. Have you had a vision with him? How many times do you think you've had a vision? One time when? Last week, was it? Where was it? In your house. Tell me what happened.
I was at home, so vision. He showed me a vision that a school bus is going to have an accident on the road. So when I was in my school bus, a truck came. So the driver did not look at the truck. So when the driver wanted to dodge the truck, the truck hit the back tire and the tire busted. So we now park out and we came out of the bus. That's what God showed me and it happened.
Did he show you this accident the same way it happened? So you saw that you were at home. What were you doing?
I was at home. I was sleeping. So my mind just told me I should stand up and read Bible. So when I read the Bible, God showed me these things.
You were reading your Bible and then you now saw this. And that's the first time you have seen a vision. Last week. Have you come here before? This is your first time. So do you see? It's not because he came here only. Now, many of people started seeing visions when they were here in the meeting. But you see, he was on his own. Who did you come with? Who did you come with? From Usanodo. Okay, so shall I come and preach in your house? So he comes for the meetings now. I don't mean this. He has not come for any of the meetings back there. So he knows the children that come. Okay. So, you see, how old are you?
Yes. Joshua Richard has.
Joshua. Now, God can show you many things, many times, even many times in one day. If you make out time to spend time in God's presence, if you sit down and say you read your Bible, were you always reading your Bible or it's from the other children that told you I used to come for a meeting? When you were younger, you used to read your Bible. Who taught you? Your parents? your parents encouraged you to be reading your Bible. Now, you see, because you obeyed and read it sometimes. Now, can you picture if you read it every day and you kneel down and you're lying down and you're looking at your Bible and you learn to talk to God? He will tell you many things, not just your school bus. When you saw it, did you pray against the accident? You prayed against it and nobody died and nobody was hurt. What if you didn't pray? What if they told you that four of your classmates died? So you see, when God tells you something, you can stop trouble from happening. God can show you and you pray, God, please let it not happen like Joshua did. And even though they had a small accident, it's only the tire that burst. His classmates may have died. That's why God shows you things. That's why you have visions to help you to fight against bad things. Children, are you hearing me? So you must learn to talk to Jesus, not just because of bad things, but because Jesus is your friend. Jesus said, come to me. Last week he said, children, my arms are open wide. Come, be coming. Do you remember? Children, how many of you were here last week, last Saturday? Do you remember when Jesus said, be coming, that his arms are open wide? He said, be coming. I am telling you how to come. Say, I want to talk to Jesus. Say, I want to pray. Mommy, daddy, I want to pray. Is there anything you want me to do? Because I want to go and talk to Jesus. And if they say, hey, help me go and buy this thing first, you go. Or it will be when you want to talk to God. What will they do? What will they do? What do your parents normally do, especially your mother? They'll call you and distract you and tell you, go and buy this or go and buy that. Or they'll ask you, what? They even call you and say, what are you doing? Because you're too quiet. Yes? And yes, they have a right, because usually when you people are too quiet, it's not well. God knows what you're doing. So, but if you tell them, I want to go and I want to pray, I want to talk to Jesus, I want to read my Bible for 30 minutes, so they won't disturb you. Do you understand? So you tell them, how many of you are going to go and be talking to Jesus? You're going to go sometimes and say, I'll talk to Jesus. If you're with your brother or sister, you can't be in the same place. If your brother, I say, you can tell them, you go and kneel down that side. Me, I'm on this side. If you stay next to your brother and sister, next thing you'll be playing. You'll be, and Jesus will not talk to you because you're distracted. Jesus is like, did you come to see me? Or you came to play with your brother or your sister or your cousin? So what do you do when you want to talk to Jesus? You separate from your brother. One person can go to another corner. You can even tell your mom and dad, can I go to your own room? Or let me find, you can just go to the corner of a room and go and kneel down or sit down. Carry your Bible. If you can read, don't worry. Just talk to Jesus. You can sing to him. Jesus is preparing you people to do powerful things. One of the visions said, there's not much time. You need to get ready. You need to get ready. So God will use you to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. Someone can die and you pray for them and the person will stand up again. Many little children die when they should not die. How many of you would like to, and their parents will be crying and crying. How many of you would like to pray and that child will come back? God wants to do that through you. But if all you want to do is run after each other, all you want to do is run and play, how many of you are going to be talking to Jesus? You talk to Jesus and you let him talk to you. Parents! You must on your own. On your own. Create time for your children to talk to God, especially the ones that are with the children alone. In many settings, that would be the mothers. Very many mothers are very guilty. They are the greatest distraction there is or can be. Indiscipline. No plan, no order. Get out of your child's way. Help your child know God. Stop pushing them only to school books. School books cannot save you in famine, in war, and trouble. But who can help you in trouble? Children, come on, don't spoil it now. We are together in this thing. Who can help you in trouble?
Jesus.
One more time, shout it out.
Jesus.
It's Jesus that can help you in trouble. Not your school books. And if your child only knew school books or knew the names of the states in Nigeria or the countries in Africa, what on earth will that do for you in trouble? Trouble, in trouble, who do you need?
Jesus.
You need Jesus. I want us to understand this, parents. Introduce your children to Jesus, even if you barely know them. Just give them 30 minutes. Tell them, okay, go and talk to Jesus. Go and pray. Go and be with Jesus. Go and read your Bible. Tell them, read one chapter a day or two or five. My kids, when they are doing it, are reading about 10 chapters. I don't know how faithful they've been. I put it off on the people responsible for them in recent times. But they were doing that even while they were going to school, when school was fully on. 5 chapters a day. There's no reason in God's world why they can't do that smoothly and organizedly. There's no reason. And they just go through it like that, book after book. And they are learning the ways of God. That's not my idea. That's not a good idea. That's commanded. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 1. What does it say? And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in the house, when you walk away, when you stand up, and when you lie down, when you rise up. So if you read Deuteronomy chapter 6, you read from verse 6 down. After telling you that the Lord your God is one God, and he says you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, might, and strength. He tells you how to love God with all that is you. And he says you should teach it to your children. Parents, hey, God, have mercy. Christian parents everywhere, you want to take your children for Sunday school and play. So, actually, many of those times you take them there, you're thinking of them as daycare, so you can focus on God. Repent. 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 Change how you think. That's what repent means. Metaneo, change your thinking. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Change your thinking, because the kingdom of God is just here. And the children are not good to have in the battle. They are an absolute requisite. The children are a whole section of the last day army. The children are the ones who silence the enemy and the avenger. So I want the parents to understand this. Give an hour or two every day, apart from personal devotion, to your children to learn the Bible. Sit down, parents. For the children that can't read, open, get a simple Bible, the Living Bible, the Good News Bible that was written for children, a paraphrase, and read for them. Tell them to settle down. Even if the child, you say he's a child, he's distracted. I'm asking you, are they not distracted when they go to school and you leave them with one or two teachers, 30 of them? If they can handle 30 of them, why can you not handle one or two or three? God have mercy on parents. Many parents do not prepare their children for anything. And then they go around looking for prayer warriors and intercessors to stand in the gap for their children. We have seen things. I've seen the effect of neglected children. Spiritual neglect. I've seen it. I've seen it because I've ministered to youth. I've pastored youth for many years. full-time, part-time, from my university days. I've been responsible for the well-being of youth, and I've seen the effect. All you do is focus on academics. The Lord have mercy on you. It's because I want to feed the children. Repent. It's a sin to disobey scripture. Deuteronomy 6 commands you to give your children time, that you should teach them about the words of God. When you are in the car or walking on the road, when you are coming back, he says, when you are lying down, about to sleep, when you are rising up, how many parents allow their children? There's no order or plan to your life. You are supposed to talk to your children about God when they are lying down. The Deuteronomy 6 says so. You're supposed to talk about them when they're in the house. It's not for church. He says, when you sit in your house. He says, when you sit in the house. It did not say when you're in school or when you're in church. So we must know the distinctions between the seasons and the times. God doesn't say, have a time for the children to listen to God. He commands you to do it whenever, wherever you are. Four opportunities are given. He said his word should be on your doorpost. His word should be everywhere. In other words, he said it should be on your forehead. I'm not going to the phylacteries and all those things they used to carry. The Jews now would actually write scripture out and stick on their forehead. Picture this watch. They'll write, put a scripture on paper and put in a small box and wear it on their wrist. Because God said, you shall bind it on your hands and between your eyes. They actually put scripture and tied it and put it inside there. I don't think that's what the Lord meant, but it's okay. What it means is your brain, your mind. What it means is in your works, your doings. You should have the Bible. You should be able to talk about God in your business, in your workplace. It should occupy your mind. And he says, teach it to your children all the time. The word for teaching it diligently is to emboss, to engrave. You see your Bible? Do you see what's written there? Can you see that thing? Holy Bible. Can you scrub off that thing? Can you scrub it off and it will come off? Do you see this thing? It's called an embossment, an engraving. Can you scrape it off and it will come off? This Holy Bible here is impossible. That's the word used for teach diligently. That's what it means. It means stamp it into your child that he can't get rid of it. So the same way I hear people teach the children to say please, thank you, I'm sorry, and all those good manners, A, B, C, D, especially. That's how you are to teach your children the word of God, like A, B, C, till they cannot be separated from it, no matter how you try. That's scripture. So I appeal to those that have been granted the responsibility of being the guardian of the children who are to do the will of God. Ensure that you obey the Lord. They have a war to fight. They have a battle to fight. God has chosen to use them to silence the enemy and the avenger. Amen. Children, stand up one more time. I've finished my message for today. I want you to thank God for the things he's told us. Stand to your feet.
Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Who has set your glory above the heavens?
We sing, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent your name.
O Lord, our Lord, how excellent your name is in all the earth. Mighty God, we praise.
Say, oh Lord, our Lord. Very simple.
Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent your name is in all the earth. Mighty God, we praise.
Out of the mouth.
Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemy, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Mighty God, we praise.
Hallelujah. How many of you, this is your first time? I want to pray for you. Come out. Just stand like this in a line. If it's your first time, all this first time, wow. Okay, I want everyone out there to stretch their hands towards these children and pray. Listen, do you remember in that vision, in that encounter that Elijah had, he saw the children and he saw the angels and they point blue smoke. What does that represent? Blue speaks of the heavenly. And I believe amongst other things, it represents smoke, usually represents incense, which is prayer. When it's blue, many times it means it's from above. This girl has come before. What are you doing? Take them away. You know, so blue smoke will come, speaking of heavenly incense. I want you to understand that as you pray, it is like that blue smoke. It is changing them. It's like fumigation. It's cleaning them out. And it's doing many other things. So let us be aware of what God is doing. And God wants to do this on very many children. I think I heard him speak about that. Some angels were sent and some children were not ready and they just grabbed them and took them. God wants to use the children to fight the enemy. Children, close your eyes. All of you standing here, we're going to pray for everybody here. Point, stretch your hands, pray. Oh God, put your spirit on them. Let the prayers of the power of God, let it come upon them. Let it begin to work in their lives and change them and cleanse them and renew them. Ask God to do that. Ask God to pour out his spirit on them. Ask God to pour out his grace. You pray and close your eyes. Say, God, please pour out your spirit on me. God, let your spirit rest upon me. Ask God. Say, Jesus, touch me, touch me, touch me again. Touch me, touch me, touch me. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Wash, cleanse, renew. Conscript them and mark you for the kingdom of God. No weapon fashioned against you may prosper. Power of Jesus rest upon you. Power of Jesus rest upon you. Power of Jesus rest upon you. Everything contrary to God, fall off in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, power of Jesus rest upon you, fill you with grace and mercy and truth. Power of Jesus rest upon you and mark you for the kingdom of God, and mark you all for the kingdom of God, for the purposes of Jesus the Christ, for the army of the Lord himself. Let the will of God come upon you, the kingdom of God rest upon you. Let grace and mercy and enablement, spirit of life, Jesus, mark you for the kingdom of God. We mark you for the kingdom of God. We ask that the glory of God, everyone say with me, wherever you are, lift your hands. Everyone, close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus,
talk to me
in my house,
on the road,
when I'm sitting down,
when I'm standing up.
Fill me with your spirit
in the name of Jesus.
Say, Lord God,
help me be prepared
to fight
your battles
in Jesus' name.
Lord God,
pour on me
your oil.
Show me your glory.
Show me your face.
Tell me your plans.
Deliver me from evil.
Deliver me from evil.
Jesus.
Show me visions.
Answer my prayers.
Help me to pray.
And to read your Bible.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I
am praying for all of you right where you are. Well, actually, I'm going to ask, let Elijah pray. He's going to ask God that the things he saw, that God will begin to do it. I want you to close your eyes. Just listen to the prayer, okay? And he's going to ask God, based on what God spoke to him, he's going to pray over everybody, okay? Not just the children, for everybody else.
Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you for what you have done, for your will being done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we ask that more will be done and it will be consistent. Father, we ask that more children will come to know you, and you will use them to do your will. You will do your will through them. Father, we ask that they will heal the sick, they raise the dead, they will cast out demons in your name. They will see vision, they will be taken up to heaven and to be a norm in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, I ask you to do even more than we've asked.
Amen.
Let all who are here receive grace.
Amen.
To wait upon you.
Amen.
To go outside and talk with Jesus.
Amen.
Let grace be released on parents all over right now. Let grace be released on parents right now.
Amen.
To be good custodians, oh God.
Amen.
To help the children spend time with God.
Amen.
To speak with the children about the things of God.
Amen.
To educate them in the things of God.
Amen.
Let your angels speak to the parents in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Warn the unruly in the name of Jesus. Help them create an atmosphere for the children to grow in the knowledge of God.
Amen.
Let that be the case. Tell them, like you spoke to Joseph, husband of Mary, like you spoke to Mary, like you spoke to Manoah, the mother of Samson, or the wife of Manoah, like you spoke, oh God, to Elizabeth, through Zechariah, like you have spoken to multitudes about the children they carry, speak to them concerning these children that are with them.
Amen.
and help them obey. Motivate the disobedient. Thank you, Almighty God. Motivate them with whatever it takes. Discipline them. Let them understand that children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward, not theirs. God's reward. They belong to the Lord. Help them take their responsibility of preparing them effectively and not stand in their way and prevent them from knowing God. And let them not offer them to the idols of this age anymore. Let them offer these children to you, to serve you, to love you. Help them, teach them your ways. And pray for them properly. And be a good example, not a bad example and a discouragement, oh God. Let the bands of wickedness that have been able to so effectively walk through many a parent or guardian, let it be broken off these children. Let them be able to ignore all such distraction and focus on knowing you. Do it as you've spoken, so that no flesh will glory in your presence. Thank you. Bless all these children and go with them. Speak to them. Bless them. Provide their need. Let them lack no good thing. Give them joy and gladness. Preserve them. When you show them things, help them to pray and avoid disaster. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Are you a strong lion or a weak lion? One more chance. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
God bless you.